Let's get ready to wrinkle! Each morning to greet me. So I am so done. Oh, yeah, get a beatbox to Edelweiss? Dude, we should lay down some fat Edel. We should lay down some fat Edel beats, is what we ought to do. Edel Which beats. Sounds a lot like anal beads.
It did. I thought that's what you said. I didn't. What kind of podcast is this?
Well, we just talked about the explicit tag. Maybe that is something we should look into. Who knows? But ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, one and all, to Hey guys, it's time.
It's time.
What? It's time. Episode 7 is here.
What?
Yay!
It's finally arrived.
It came early. Yes. Like Christmas.
Unfortunately for our listeners, it's just episode 7 of our podcast named Fly Casual.
Oh, shucks.
Boo. But hey, on the upside, at least that podcast is about Star Wars news and toys and stuff.
Yeah.
You guys like stuff, don't you?
Oh, and I love stuff.
Rumors.
We all love the rumors.
Rumors, which has so far been the theme song.
Yes. Yeah. We have theme music this week.
Yeah,
right?
Oh, that's the rumor.
I'm excited to hear it.
I know. Which you'll probably hear after you download and listen to the show.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be in post.
I'm sure it will. Hey, welcome one and all. We're glad to have you. Our podcast, we're on the upswing. We are now featured on StarWars.com. Did we just knock your underpants right off your legs?
Because I wasn't even wearing any.
See? Garrett came prepared.
You did say featured. I don't know that it's completely
accurate.
Hey,
we're in the first row.
First row.
There's
three rows of podcasts, and we're in the first. We are the last one on the first row, and that's gotta mean something. If that don't mean something, what does?
It's because it's alphabetical.
I am your host, Corey T. Wilson, and with me on my right is Mr. Michael J. Archibald. How you doing?
Hi, Corey T.
Hi, man. You have a lovely, soft glow about you, mostly because of the iPad that's sitting in front of you.
True, yeah. It's not my glowing face.
No.
It would be the iPad.
No.
Well, it makes
Mike,
your face
you're glowing. Do you have something to share with the listeners?
Well, we'll get into that.
I'm interested
to
find out.
We're dedicating a whole podcast to find out why Mike's glowing.
His butt's expected.
The glow cast.
What? And of course, right behind Mike is Mr. Stephen J. Howie, Master Control.
Hello, folks. How are we all doing?
SJ.
Wait, pause for response. All right, they're doing great.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, good to hear you. Boy, the listeners are peppy tonight. Wow, a resounding response. I'm glad to hear the listener. Yeah, I feel bad for the one listener who went, oh, it's so good. And we're like, yeah.
It's kind of like one of those Diego kind of shows where they talk to the kids. You know, that's what we should do in our podcast.
Absolutely. Of course, joining us from abroad, well, that's incorrect.
Way abroad.
Joining us from a lady is Garrick, not Jay Hardy.
Hey.
Hey, man.
What's up,
hey,
Jay?
Speaking of people that would give sourpuss responses, Garrick, do you remember that somebody from college, every time you'd be like, hey, what's up? I'm kind of sick today. I'm like, my roommate bled out last night, so I don't have a roommate. I got a huge mess.
Yeah.
I'm ragging something fierce.
That person was not fun to hang around with.
No, I mean, you would know better than any of us, really. You had to spend a lot of time around that individual. I hope some other people on the inside of this, honestly, this person, and I had classes with this, but you walk up, hey, and you just try to keep your passion in the hall. You know, it's a small school. Everybody kind of knows each other a little bit, so you don't want to just snub anybody. So you just kind of nod, hey, how's it going? Oh, don't make me get into it. My car broke down. My parents have rickets. You know, it's just this like ongoing drama. So you just try to avoid her, that person. I don't want to narrow it down to 50% of the potential population of that university during the time that we were there. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, why are we messing around? Why aren't we just jumping straight into the news?
All right. Well, you guys, I keep wanting to stop talking about Harrison Ford, but I can't. He just keeps popping up and making me have to bring him up. So here we go. Have you guys heard this, man? I think Harrison Ford.
I've heard him several times.
I think Harrison
featured Ford. In several movies, actually.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Just a few.
I suppose. Not so much, not as peppy as he used to be, maybe. I don't know.
I'm in this fucking movie here.
Sorry, did I say that? Anyway.
How many per person are we allowed, Howie?
One and a half.
That was a G. Oh. That was a double G. That was fuggin'.
I heard it very clearly. Yeah. I did too. That's how I heard it.
That's right.
Definitely a double G.
We've not ruined any children.
So guys, I think Harrison Ford is officially brain dead. Have you guys heard this story that came out this week?
I heard a few minutes ago.
That leg injury really escalated. I
know. Well, it was. That's the thing. It's the leg injury that keeps on giving.
Okay, so the last few weeks we've seen all these neat pictures of him walking around. He's off his no casts. He's off his little cane walker thing that he had.
Yeah.
And, the last couple weeks we've seen him. He's just gallivanting around and like nothing happened. And
we're
like,
no.
Hey, great, man. Harrison Ford, you know. And
spry as a summer breeze.
Exactly. So, you know, here we are. We're thinking everything's just fine. And it is still. But I think he's kind of tempting fate a little bit here.
I'm assuming that during the hiatus in filming, the end of summer hiatus, that he's actually been, you know, switching between ice and heat, sitting in a recliner, probably, you know, spending a lot of extra time in bed, having breakfast in bed. I mean, that seems like the responsible thing to do. So
he could be going down 250 foot slides with his grandkids.
That's what I'd be doing.
Wow.
Wait a second.
250 foot slide?
Well, is it a water slide?
Where is that?
I was like, is this just like a playground from, you know, from Hades? Like, you know, we got
thin metal slide.
You need to put some olive oil on the back of your cat. Otherwise, you're going to lose a layer halfway down.
So he's vacationing, I guess, this past week with his family, and he's got grandkids and all that good stuff. And yeah, he was seen going down this big. I'm sorry, not 250 foot. It says 2,500 foot slide.
Whoa!
I'm sorry.
You missed that zero.
You need something with a higher burn temp. At that point, you're probably going to have to step up the peanut oil. If you don't step up the peanut oil, you're going to smell the burning about halfway down.
So JJ is listening to the podcast this week, he's having a heart attack sitting in his director's chair. It says, "Yeah, Ford was caught by TMZ taking his chances on a 2,500 foot slide just a few days before he's due back." It says those who travel brave enough to travel on this slide can reach up to 30 miles an hour on it. So, you know, here we go. You know,
how did they stop?
The water.
There's a wall.
Smacks right in there.
It says Harrison is a regular on the Alpine slide. I don't know where this is. Garrick, I suppose you could look it up.
But yeah, he should be in the Alps.
I guess it's in the Alpines.
Anyway, this is something he does often, I guess, with his grandkids, but you would think that somebody coming off a big break like this and literally a big movie break like this, huge. So, you know, I don't know. To me, reading the story, it just makes me, because there's been a lot of chatter around the web, actually, since the announcement of Episode 7 about Ford's involvement in the movies and in the trilogy and all that stuff. And the kind of the conventional wisdom among nerds on the inside is that Harrison Ford agreed to come and do Episode 7 as long as he was going to be killed off at the end of it. This goes back to 1983 when Return of the Jedi came out. Famously, for those who are fanboys like us, would know that Harrison begged George Lucas at that time to kill off his character. He wanted Han Solo dead at the end of Return of the Jedi. So a lot of people theorizing that in Episode 7 that he agreed to come do it as long as he would be able to be killed off at the end.
Now, okay, so he might be playing fast and loose with the character. I don't think that means that he wants to off himself to
prove the point. I don't.
No.
However,
but being that careless right before going back to set.
You're concerned about the slide. You didn't bring up the part about how he got onto the slide.
Yes, I didn't say
that. It's a very, very long line and a long climb, and he's like, well, screw that. It's not worth it. So he just flew his plane over the slide.
Jumped off.
And then jumped off to get just the right angle and trajectory. trajectory.
Did he have an inflatable raft with him?
These are the jokes.
Short round.
We're not flying. We're crashing.
Nice that's little squeak best, there, that girl. Yeah.
That's my best girl voice.
Yeah, that's your best Steven Spielberg's girlfriend voice.
Yes, whatever her name is. Yeah.
I think they're married, man.
Are they? Are they together?
Yeah, he married her.
That was
her.
A thing that happened?
That happened. He's still knew? Married to her.
Yeah, I've read dogs on her. She played the role she was given.
She did.
She did.
Don't down her for that.
Nailed it.
So, yeah, so here we go. Harrison Ford kind of playing fast and loose with
his life.
With his health and life in episode 7. So, well, there you go.
I mean, he what, 72, we said?
72 years old, yeah.
So, wow. If you're that age, like, whatever. I've yeah. lived hey, a
how
life.
Many 72-year-olds do you know that are like, how about slide? That sounds like just right down my alley.
If you can, why not?
Yeah. You know,
he's actually getting prepared more for the role that he's getting ready to play.
The best part would be if he's like, I'm not climbing those stairs, but they had like a little like chairlift like Mrs. Deagle and Gremlins has. And so he's like, the kids are just kind of walking slowly with him while he's like, all right, just sit next to Grandpa here. Turn the corner.
They have to stop like every 2 steps waiting for him to catch up.
Look, I'm all about this guy having fun with his grandkids and his family and all that stuff. I mean, he's an old man, you know, let him live out his days, but he's also under contract.
You talk about Harrison Ford and then you just start doing the little tie into whatever your next point is. It's always like, I'm fine. They want to tie him to a tree and hit him with a shovel. That's fine. If you just want to cut his balls off and send him out to pasture, let him be. Let him. If he wants to go sit in a creek somewhere until he just washes away, then that's his prerogative.
Live and let live, man. That's what I say. But the guy's under contract for a huge, giant movie, and that's why I'm saying,
he doesn't care.
The way, obviously, to me, it projects that I don't care attitude, and I don't think he's going to be around for all three movies. I'm starting to believe that he'll be killed off at the end of the movie.
Is he just trying to get out of the fourth indie movie?
That's the one he wanted to do.
I was going
to
say, actually, I'm hearing this week.
What was I drinking then?
I'm hearing.
Yeah, there's only three. Guys.
Oh, okay. My fault. That was just a hiccup.
Garrick's point was there was no fourth movie, so this wouldn't be the fifth that he signed on to do.
Yes. Thanks for explaining the joke.
No problem. I just let everybody in. Mike still looks confused.
Hey, it's funny. I'm not even gonna go
there. He'll get it in a couple seconds.
Yeah, right, yeah, Christmas call suck, Mike.
I got that part, man.
Okay.
Okay, good. We're all on the same page.
Thank God. All right.
Everything's good. Moving right along.
Okay, so are we going to get an unaltered cut of the original trilogy on Blu-ray or
According
not?
To the entire internet, yes. 1,000 times, yes.
No, that was 2 weeks ago. Oh, according to the entire internet this week, it's a big fat no.
No, that's ridiculous.
Why would that ever
like
happen?
Money?
Well, now let's talk about this for a minute. 2 weeks ago, comicbook.com came out and broke the story that, hey, you know, there's plans and they're going to put the unaltered original trilogy on Blu-ray. People have been demanding this for years. And famously, of course, George Lucas only put out his special edition versions because what he called his vision, you know, for the original trilogy and was pretty adamant that he had no plans on putting anything. Now, I think there was a DVD release.
Right.
That
accompanied, you had to buy the special edition.
Right. It came with a special edition, but it was a pretty,
to get the original,
it was a pretty
cut DVDs.
Shoddy.
Oh yeah. It was, it looked like it was taken from the VHS.
It was
was not even,
I have that copy.
So do I
do too.
Right. It was not pulled from the film. It was literally like, this is what you want. Fine.
Yeah.
Take it. I hate all of you for not liking episode one. I hate you all. They're like, yes, sir. Take my money.
The original cut was also on Laserdisc, too.
Oh, wow.
So there's okay. that.
Well, yeah.
You know what this is? This is somebody saying, if we get enough hype on the internet about people wanting this, then they'll see, hey, there's a demand for it. Maybe we should do it.
Let me tell you the complication with that, Mr. Stephen J.
Yeah, there's a couple
of
things.
The problem with that is that the movie distribution rights are still in the hands of Fox.
Right.
Whereas Disney owns the property. So I picture it going like Disney's going, you know, free money, you know, and they're going and ringing the doorbell at Fox, and Fox is like, Disney's outside. What do we do? What do we do?
It's a giant mouse. Deal.
They want to make money and let us in on it. No, they'll take everything. Don't answer the door. Nobody's home.
Dave's not here.
Dave's not here, man. Boy, there's a reference.
Wow.
Most of our listeners aren't old enough to get. But I honestly think they're just like Fox would be like, we don't know what to do. You know, Disney's too big and scary. So they would have to play nicely together to make that happen.
Right.
And then at that point, yeah, they're like, did someone sneak something in the contract where now they can do whatever they want? Right.
They'll spend more money in legal just getting it prepared than they would make it.
That's hypothetically possible.
To be honest, too, there's also, and that's a valid point. I mean, who's going to buy this, really?
Me.
Me.
Okay. Me. But who are we? I would, too. Don't get me wrong.
I'm two guys.
We're Uber fanboys, though.
Yeah. I need one to collect and one to play.
Yeah. Well, Mike, we're not that Uber. It's not like we run a podcast. Never mind.
Yes. So the 10 people who listen to this would, too.
Right. So.
But that's the point. Is this going to reach a mass audience? Are they really going to make money on this if they go in and they do the restoration? I don't know.
I don't know.
I understand.
They would make all the money.
I understand the, question about
all
this.
Of it.
I don't know. I think Howie has said it. You know, you might have been joking, but I think it's true that, you know, between the cost of the actual restoration, like the rescanning and all that of the original films, plus, which, you know, George Lucas has said, they don't exist. We don't know where they went. Bull crap. There's, you know, there are so many films that are preserved, and there have been so many. There is a copy that is close to original. The masters may be lost. I might buy that, but there are copies that could be scanned and redeemed, if you will. I mean, how did they make the special edition?
Right, they had to put
to do it then.
Yeah,
right.
They restored everything then. I thought,
all
the original film and everything.
Well, right. So. That stuff's sitting somewhere.
We definitely won't get that kind of restoration. I mean, they're not going to go back and to the film archives and pull out, you know.
But it would still take, I mean, to even do this, I mean, for film that old, even if it's been well preserved, you're still going to have to get colorists involved. The sound is going to have to be remastered. The original sound would sound terrible on modern systems.
In those special editions, though, they reconstructed those movies almost from scratch.
I don't expect, like, the Empire, the Snowspeeders, how through the black parts of the canopy you can actually see the background.
Right.
I don't expect that to be cleaned up like it was in the special edition.
Right.
But I think that just the recolorizing and the sound alone would, and the legal fees would maybe cost enough to offset what they would gain from selling it to us.
Then that's the other question, too, because everybody's talking about the film itself, but what do you do with the soundtrack? Is it mono? Do you want stereo? Do you do the, you know, the DTA, you know, the surround sounds?
That's all part of remastering.
THX, man. THX. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Whatever happened to that?
Now,
Lucas.
I think back to, and as a collector and a fan, I'd probably like this, but I think what's his name? Did Blade Runner. Why is it escaping me?
Harrison Ford?
No.
Harrison Ford's son?
Ridley Scott?
Ridley Scott, right. Ridley Scott went back a few years ago and did an ultimate edition, you know, of Blade Runner, and that actually includes like five versions of the movie.
Yeah,
I loved that, man. Yeah. I mean, that was cool. I mean,
I don't know if you made a dime on it, but it was
probably
cool.
Not. But that's the point. I love that. That's one of my treasured possessions. But and I'd love to see that with Star Wars, to be able to get, you know, like maybe a model cut or, you know,
one of your treasured possessions on a shelf. Mike's got his kids' baby shoes nestled right up against Blade Runner special
edition. Come on, my entertainment stuff, man. Come on.
Which one am I gonna brass? I can't decide. Everybody sounds like this today to me, apparently. So, all right. So, what else is going on, Mike, in the world of news?
Well,
pass it over smooth as butter.
That was very a great smooth transition.
You're welcome, gentlemen.
Did we even resolve that?
You're welcome, Mike.
All right.
Doesn't need to be.
Battlefront 3, man.
Take my money.
All of it. Garrick's ready. All right.
Yep. Garrick's sitting there with his routing number and a check number.
I already got EA on the phone this morning. I said, I don't care. Here's my info.
Well, here's the scoop, man. Over the last 2 weeks, and I've been ignoring these stories. Over the last couple weeks, I've been seeing Battlefront 3, you know, release date set. I'm like, bull crap. They've been saying that for months. And so I finally clicked on one of them. It said release date set. And I go in there and yeah, there's no release date. It just says summer 2015. So
yay, release date.
Yay. Yeah.
My birthday's so, summer 2015.
That may or may not be less than a year away.
Yay. It's good to be in the know, huh fellas?
All right.
Yay.
So yeah, mini update, I suppose. They've been swinging back and forth between summer and winter of 2015.
Come on, summer.
To kind
come
of on, summer. Coincide summer with come. Don't worry. The
come on,
release summer. Of the summer's movie, coming. But I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
I love these hard stops. All right, Mike, what's the next thing on the list?
Check. Okay, number four.
Number four.
Okay. Speaking of, well, that's that.
All right. So for the last couple months, man, we've been getting lots of rumors about flashbacks in Star Wars. And I remember the first time that I heard this, this is probably back in our first or second cast.
Right.
I brought up the point because everybody's talking about, oh, well, you know, Billy Lord and, you know, who's Carrie Fisher's daughter and Vader and this and that. And I was just like, wait a minute, stop. They don't do flashbacks in Star Wars. They don't have flashbacks in Star Wars. We don't do it that way. So
do you understand me? It's in the handbook according to Mike.
Exactly.
No flashbacks.
So that weirded me out. But I've been softening to it because
except for Tusken Raider dying sounds.
I guess, yeah. It's as much as of a flashback as we've had in any of the movies, but so anyway, but I've been softening to the idea because it's just been a flood of rumors the last few weeks and
oh my God.
And just everything keeps pointing to we're going to have flashbacks. So now this past week, though, Pablo Hidalgo,
the horse.
No, not
the I love
horse.
That movie.
Yeah. Hey,
you like that one?
Yeah, it's a great. Yeah. It's a little off kilter, but yeah.
It had Aragorn in it.
I didn't know the horse could talk. I should have known.
Wait, what movie is that? Known.
I should have picked up on that. Yeah, I can't ever remember his name. Hugh Jackman.
I don't even know what you're talking about. So.
Viggo Mortensen?
Yeah, Viggo Mortensen. We don't know anybody's name. Viggo Mortensen.
His name is Viggo Mortensen. How do we not remember that name? He shares the name with the main antagonist of a Ghostbusters film, and we can't remember it. What is wrong with us?
All right. So Pablo Hidalgo, so for those who don't know, who's not in a movie, by the way, is very closely associated with Lucasfilm. He's kind of their unofficial archivist. Has put books together and is kind of the quintessential fan that kind of got brought into the universe.
He got sucked in
because he did good work. So.
Isn't his official title Keeper of the Holocrons? Or something like that.
It is something goofy like that.
It's something weird like that.
Right, yeah. Right.
I can't remember what alien species he is. That's the thing that's bugging me.
So anyway, he was on a panel this past week, and they were talking about Star Wars Rebels. And
the upcoming television program. Tell me more
about Rebels.
Right. So as they were discussing that, the question came out, are we going to see flashbacks in Rebels, you know, to kind of explain origins for the main characters and things like that? And Pablo Hidalgo kind of stopped everything in its tracks and looked at everybody and said, there are no flashbacks in Star Wars.
I'm
paraphrasing. So, yes,
darn bum, right. bum, bum.
So, he glared
at him. He pulled out a knife. Yeah.
There are no flashbacks.
Or it might have not been that emphatic. It was
sounds like
maybe,
Cad Bane.
Yeah. It was maybe more along the line of, we don't use that kind of storytelling, you know, whatever, in Star Wars.
We don't use that kind of storytelling around these parts.
So, anyway.
Technically, that's not true, though, because they have used it in the comics. I'm just saying.
Okay. Derek, we're talking about the movie.
And the TV show as
okay.
well.
So anyway, so
maybe he heard there was and he's just really trying to make a point to someone. Like he's like, I don't know who's making the decision, but JJ, there are no flashbacks.
Yeah, and it could be. This could just open to all kinds of interpretation. We'll talk about this here when we get to rumors. But I think there's a lot of misdirection going on right now. And maybe he's feeding some of that. I don't know, playing into some of it. Who knows?
Right.
So,
yeah,
I don't know.
Fair enough.
So, anyway, just an interesting little tidbit that kind of struck home with me because I felt, like I said, that flashbacks are just kind of weird to me. But
I think flashbacks sometimes bring a bit of cohesion to a story. Hey, Mike, speaking of cohesion.
Great. Woo, that was wonderful.
Wow.
Man.
masterful.
No one is ever going to know. We're going to get through the entire news segment. People are like, whoa, that's a roller coaster ride.
How does that happen? Our seventh episode.
I thought we were still talking about Harrison Ford breaking himself on stuff. Anyhow.
So anyway, there's... I can't even get a second to think about what I want to say, and they start laughing at me. You guys see what I have to put up with week because after week?
Because we know
after
that
week.
We're the one derailing you. We're the ones derailing you. It's a mark of pride and distinction for the rest of us.
I know it is.
So is Disney talking to Star Wars about something, Mike?
Look, let's just put it this way.
Star Wars.
EU, everybody knows that EU's been kicked out. It's called Legends now, blah, blah, blah. So there's a lot of people pissed off about it. But Disney, I think, is trying to come out now, and they're really kind of pushing this this dialogue that, look, this is going to be cool. This is going to be cool. Guys, listen.
We swear!
That and kind of reports are coming out now that the cohesion that we're seeing with Disney's involvement in Marvel and the Avengers and their spinoffs and everything, that kind of tight cohesion, they're even taking it a step further with Star Wars. Like that this new narrative that they're going to put forth with the movies and the books and everything else that comes out at this point is not going to be like it was in the past. And we talked about this before the podcast, about the expanded universe, and there's some validity here, and this is helping me personally.
It's helping you cope.
This it is. It's helping me cope
when Mike's rocking back and forth in a corner shaking with like a spilled cup of hot cocoa next to him on the ground. He thinks to this and goes, "It's gonna be okay.
I can do this.
It's gonna be okay because Marvel's okay." You know, the amazing thing though about the fact that, you know, we use Marvel as the example. You know, last week we in our last episode we mentioned Kevin Feige in our talk with Amy Radcliffe.
Right.
Who is the head of Marvel and how he's done a lot to drive this whole cohesive
overall
thing.
Narrative. Right?
It's funny that we use that as the shining example because of the Spider-Man and the X-Men movies are owned by other production houses. Right. The rights are owned by them. So Marvel's had to do this despite the fact that... From their early beginnings,
they wish they could do something
even more than
they're doing.
Yeah, they couldn't do this from the get-go, so now they're just kind of getting it all kind of scooped back together, and they're doing an amazing job with what properties they can, which aren't their top-tier properties, but they're turning them into their top-tier properties.
Yeah.
That's amazing!
Right, and I guess what Disney is trying to put forth with Star Wars is that we're not going to have that problem with them, that this is going to be even tighter and better. And what we had talked about with the expanded universe originally was that, you know, the movies came out and Lucas commissioned authors to write books. And at the beginning of this, I mean, these authors just did whatever the hell they wanted. And
within some reason,
yeah, I mean, he had some say on some things, but
we know for 80s, a fact,
through the 80s and 90s, it was pretty disparate.
We know for a fact it was fast and loose because the entire Yuuse and Vong series was a response to that.
it was
saying, okay, we're going to get everybody under one umbrella. We're all going to start working with each other. We're going to start talking on the phone with each other. We're going to start emailing each other so that we're actually writing things that interweave.
Right.
Whereas before that point, it was kind of like, all right, you go, you have this section that you can be completely independent. You have this section over here.
Right.
They knew 52'd it.
So anyway, what happened, it was, at some point things were just so kind of scattered, you know, then we had kind of some authors like Stackpole and others that we like personally that kind of took those loose ends and started tying them up. And that's one of the things I really liked about the expanded universe and these authors, and that I respect some of those guys because they took a lot of loose ends, a lot of them, and really brought them back. And you know, by the time they got to the Yuuse and Vong series, you know, they at least were attempting some cohesion and stuff like that. So, you know, I respect what those guys did. So, but, you know, going forward now with Disney, you know, it sounds like these guys have got a vision from like day one, and they're going to, you know, put this out, and that everything is going to tie, and it's going to be a lot tighter, and there isn't going to be, you know, these, you know, loose stories going off, and you're just like, am I reading a Star Wars novel, or what the
it's
hell is
this? It's funny because it feels like it all got cracked off so quickly. I mean, the acquisition happened only officially, what, like 7-8 months ago? You know,
was it
2012? Yeah. Time passes. I'm old and stuff.
A little off
either way, things got off the, or you're, that's right. It was 2012, but you know, here a year and a half later, were, you know, they're filming, they're shooting and stuff. I mean, that's pretty impressive, but and it seems breakneck, but we already know the director for the next couple films and he's involved and they're there and they're putting together the stories. They're taking, you know, meetings and stuff like that to develop it all. Whereas like, even with episode one, I was like, man, episode one just happened. I'm not sure how I feel. How long till we get the next one to figure out how to get this taste out of my mouth? And they're like, well, George is sitting down to write it now. And we're like, wait, what? First off, again? Secondly, really? And it was just kind of like, yep, we'll, we'll get back to you when we got something. And so, yeah, now it's just knowing that they are all hands on deck to get it all developed is it makes me feel a little more snuggly.
Yeah, it is. Like I said, it's helping me cope.
Yeah. There you go. That's good. Yeah. Get that cocoa cup filled.
So speaking of the cohesion, so they've been, I mean, we're really on the precipice here. I think we're just a couple of months, maybe 6 months or 6 weeks away or something from Star Wars Rebels.
Is it that long even?
It's October 2nd.
October 2nd. Okay.
Something like that.
When's the book come out?
September 2nd.
So
I have I have a month to read the prequel book to the series before
which
series.
Is next week, by the way.
Yeah. Yes.
Right.
Unless you're listening to this after next week, in which case it's this week or last week.
It's right now.
You
go
might
get it
be
now.
Listening to this to the point where it's 2 weeks ago. After that, you're probably not listening to this.
Oh my God.
I just want to be completely clear and upfront. I want to be very transparent. Yes. Thank you.
So yes, in September you will be able to get the book. In October we got the show coming out. So anyway, they're Fast and Furious right now, and they're releasing a lot of clips on YouTube. So if you haven't been there, you know, hit up our Facebook or Twitter, you know, or hit YouTube and look them up. And they've got some new spots that came out this week, and they're kind of featuring the characters now. We were just before we came down, we were looking at one with the character Zeb.
Yeah,
and,
Zeb.
Yeah, which we've heard some funny things about. Apparently, this character, if you haven't seen him yet, is based on original sketches by Ralph McQuarrie.
Yeah.
Of what Chewbacca was supposed to look like.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The concept sketches of Chewbacca.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. One of the
things. He's a proto Wookiee.
Yeah, very much a proto Wookiee. But the funny thing is he's he speaks basic.
And yeah, he's not a Wookiee in the show. He's a different species we've not seen before.
And he's got this great, you know, British accent. And, you know, very very. You know,
he reminds me of Malcolm on Enterprise when he talks. I don't know why.
More harsh than that.
Anyway, he is a little more harsh.
I'm hearing that the running joke on this, and this is going to be funny if it plays out, is that everybody keeps mistaking him in the show for a Wookiee, and he keeps like, I'm not a Wookiee.
Dagnabbit.
So anyway, if you haven't seen some of those clips, check them out. The excitement's building for this show, and I think we're kind of getting on board.
Excellent. I'm excited.
I'm way excited.
I don't have cable.
Oh, you know what the answer is to someone who doesn't have cable? To watch videos on the internet, Howie. And speaking of watching videos on the internet, almost nailed one. Dang it!
You can watch our videos on the internet.
What?
We got videos? Wait a minute. Which videos?
So, Garrick, about that webcam I sent you.
It's been on this whole time.
Yeah. Yeah. Hold on. I got to call my mom.
pull your pants up, Garrick.
He's not even wearing underpants.
So, anyway, we just wanted to kind of take the next couple of bits here to kind of announce, you know, something here for Fly Casual Podcast. We got our YouTube site up now.
Whoa!
So, if you guys love playing with us on Twitter and Facebook, then you need to subscribe to our
play
YouTube
with us
page.
Everywhere.
That's right.
Whoa, this just went.
So, anyway, we're kind of
just go there.
Did we're kind of using YouTube to put our little skits and different segments on and interviews and things like that. That,
make it sound like a church drama team.
Well, you're over there in the corner when you do your stuff and you're moving around and having a good time,
waving my hands around, that's doing my Kevin Smithing.
tear
running down the side of your cheek.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
That's right.
So anyway, I just want to make sure that all our listeners are hitting us up on YouTube, and make sure you go there and follow us and love us and caress us.
And if you request us to do more video content with actual full motion video featuring our numbskullery, you should hit us up on Twitter and on Facebook.
That's right.
Let us know
where would they find us on
that's
on
where
those.
We live.
You know, that's a good question, Mike, and I'm glad you asked.
Okay.
If you would like to follow us on Twitter, and you do want to follow us on Twitter, please visit.
You do want to follow us on Twitter.
Twitter, the hand motion, they can't see that.
I know. I'm waving.
Twitter.com,
casual 1138.
Follow for 2 seconds, and it's late at night. I should be in bed.
All right, here we go. On Instagram and Twitter, at FlyCasual1138, on Facebook at facebook.com/FlyCasualPodcast.
And you have to actually enter at facebook.com. You have to have the at sign, right? That's how Facebook works,
right?
That's how everything works now, right?
As far as I know.
My email address is at my address, at my domain.
Okay. If you search us on YouTube, you can find us at Fly Casual Podcast.
That's right.
Yeah.
So look us up there.
By the way, we also, and I want to take a moment here. We had mentioned that we are now on the StarWars.com community page, and I just want to take a minute to thank some of our friends that helped us, pointed us in the right direction. We want to thank Amy Ratcliffe, who we interviewed last week, who connected us with Coffee with Kenobi's Dan Zare. And we ended up with A Bad Feeling About This.com's Matt Martin, that all those guys kind of participated in helping us get on there. So right. I just want a special thanks out to our friends.
Thanks, folks.
Thanks, friends.
You. We appreciate any kind of promotion that anyone can help us. And you, the listener, can help us by getting on your favorite podcast subscription service, subscribing to our podcast, and also rating us.
You got to rate us.
Rate us up. We're going to start harassing you to the point where you'd be like, I'll do it if you shut up already.
Maybe we should do a YouTube video on how to rate things and put it on our page.
Rating Podcasts 101.
Yeah, I think I lot like of people can get at. Use out of that. Yeah,
I like where your head's at, Garrick. I'm gonna devote some time to this, I think.
Sweet.
So, yes, please get on there and rate us up and so that more people can find and partake in the loveliness that is this nonsense that we provide. Speaking of nonsense, it's time for the Porkins Bite of the Week.
Porkins.
Oh yeah.
Funky.
Man, I get squishy every time I hear this song.
Gross.
Did you know that Porkins was also the dude in Batman that told the Joker to think about the future, and then at the end the Joker told him to think about the future and then shot him?
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
I did not know that.
I wish there was a website to find out these things.
You know what, Garrick? It's something that you bring that up.
Why? You could go to betterkind.com.
Or hit us up on YouTube.
Yeah, search on the YouTube channel to learn more wonderful, learn the same wonderful things about Porkins. So, wow, what a ride that was. So,
good times.
That means it's time for the toy report, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, that's me, right?
Yes, okay. That's the time when Garrick, you can shine.
Cue Garrick.
Well, as listeners and you guys who are with me may know, we are a big fan of the Christmas season.
We are.
What? We keep warning it's coming up, right? On our past podcast.
I'm a huge fan of Christmas.
Well, haven't we turned the corner yet? Back in July, we were right around the corner.
Around that corner.
It's a very gentle corner. It's it's almost more it's of like a merge.
Merge. Yeah. Okay. All right.
It's like a roundabout, maybe.
Slow. Okay. All right. Slowly getting there.
Well, Target and Walmart are now gearing up to bring out new Star Wars toys. They're totally redesigning their toy areas in those two department stores, especially in Target. Yes, both
really?
Of them.
Really? At the same time?
This at the same madness! Time. Yeah, it's almost like, you know, Thanksgiving holidays coming up.
And they weird.
Have deals or something. I don't know.
this is August, right? Okay.
No. But Target, I just went in there the other day, and I've seen photographic evidence of other people going in there.
There's like some guy with a manila folder and a trench coat standing near the toilet. Going, hey, check it out. I got before and after. Well,
they got the goods.
They got a display up with the, I guess it's kind of like an arch that runs parallel to the aisle that has Vader and Yoda fighting with lightsabers over the, it kind of frames the Star Wars toy area.
Really?
So they're really going all out. They're rolling out the Rebel stuff already. They're rolling out Black Series, Deluxe, the Black Series 6-inch, and the Black Series 3 3/4-inch figures.
I'd like to point out that I finally got my two Black Series 6-inch figures that my wife bought like back in March or something.
Yeah, they were which pretty, ones did they you were get pretty sweet. I was fondling them earlier.
I got Han and I got Luke in the X-Wing in the pilot nice. Uniform. And I'm very excited, not as excited as I was like 4 months ago when I saw them on the Amazon delivered list. And then I told her, I made a comment like, when am I going to get those things that you bought forever ago? So she took them and hid them at my parents' house as if that would make me forget.
It's my birthday, woman.
I know. So it was roll my birthday and I done got them. But of course, then I was at the store and I saw Greedo and I wanted Greedo desperately.
Oh, Greedo is cool.
Oh, he's good looking.
But
he's
speaking of those 6-inch Black Series figure, there's good news on that front. They're also re-releasing the Boba Fett and the Stormtrooper from 4, 5, and 6 figures in the 6-inch.
Ah.
I actually went into Target and saw a Boba Fett on the shelf, which yes. is unheard of.
Was unheard of.
Was unheard of. But yeah,
there's no longer released. There, right?
Oh, no, I bought it.
So I have two now.
Is the Stormtrooper a standard Stormtrooper, or is he yes. like the Tatooine sandy, well, sandy crack Stormtrooper?
There's two of them. There's the standard Stormtrooper, which is the one they're doing in this re-release of these figures because it was a more popular, less released one.
Okay.
But they also have the sand figure.
Okay.
Sand trooper figure out there as well.
Gotcha.
So
I love the sand trooper because he's just a stormtrooper with an orange shoulder pad and sand in all of his crevices.
It's called a pauldron. Come on.
Oh, excuse me. A pauldron.
But yeah, those are coming out. So if you live near a Target, check that out. Or Walmart, I guess it'd be there too. See if you can find one. They're really cool. And also with the 6-inch Black Series figures, they've just announced, I think yesterday, the day before, some unannounced ones, I guess until they just announced them.
I was going to say, they ceased to be unannounced and became
these
announced.
Are ones they didn't announce at Comic-Con that are coming out. And just three of them they announced, IG-88, which obviously is a bounty hunter in episode 5.
I like IG-88.
Yes, IG-88 is pretty sweet. Obi-Wan Kenobi,
I've heard of that
from
guy.
A New Hope. So the older one, yes. And probably my favorite, Leia in her, oh my gosh, I'm going to wreck this word, Bosch disguise, Bosch.
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 Bosch. Bosch. Bounty Hunter Bosch.
Like a Bosch. Leia like a Bosch disguise.
Yeah.
As your vision in, will return in time.
Yes, which is super cool. They don't have pictures out for them, but they sound really awesome.
Yeah, the Leia the Bosch, that'd be pretty cool. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure she'll have especially like a removable helmet inch. And stuff. Yeah.
Oh, they better.
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
Oh, yeah. By the way, I did see a Mace Windu on the shelf for the 4-inch ones.
What? Did it have the helmet?
It had the helmet. Yay! It had not been stolen. Whoa, I don't think the helmet stealing thieves have thought to go to Kroger yet. Because that's where
Kroger.
I saw
all right. Yeah.
Until well, we now. Have like the ridiculous Kroger that up until now Kroger, sold furniture. It was Kroger plus furniture. And everybody went, what? And then they realized, hey, guess what? This furniture is not selling. Here, they're not coming to our grocery store to buy furniture. So now it's all cleared out and they're getting ready to start carrying clothing. So let's see how that goes.
Oh, good luck with that, Target.
All I Kroger. Ask for are edible things and Star Wars figures. That's all I need.
Yeah, they just need the whole section to be Star Wars figures. I'd be happy.
There you go. Fill that area in with Star Wars stuff.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I just have a little thing I want to insert here. I actually went up to Kokomo, which if you're not from Indiana, it's about an hour north of Indianapolis.
Yeah.
And
if you're familiar with the Beach Boys song, that's not a place that exists.
No. Yeah.
It's actually a city in Indiana.
If you're listening to that song and you traveled to Indiana, you'll probably be disappointed.
Yeah, that's also true. Gang violence and murder. Ooh, I want to murder.
That's a more accurate song for the Kokomo.
I'm no Wayne Brady, but that's as quick as I could do that.
But I mean, they've really revitalized their downtown, and part of that revitalization is they just built, or I guess moved in, a toy store there that has the Indiana's largest selection of action figures.
And what's that toy store called?
It's called Kokomo Toys and Collectibles.
This is how you just blew my mind, Garrick. Earlier, I was on Craigslist just today. Uh-huh. I was on Craigslist and I was looking for, I don't even remember what I was looking for. I ended up stumbling across a Craigslist ad for this store. But the weird thing was, it's like, it said like Kokomo Toys and Collectibles. I was like, oh wow, this store looks really nice. Like
it is.
It looks like a classic like toy store out of like a movie from the 40s or something. And when I clicked on it, it said that the city that it was in, that not the location, but the city like of Craigslist that I was in, Craigslist section, was like Elgin, Michigan or something like that. Weird.
No, you don't want to, you don't want any part of that.
No, I don't want none part of that. No.
Sorry, Michigan listeners.
Sorry. Yeah. I know what happens when I go north of the border.
Yeah. They don't like us anymore.
They don't take
after that one thing.
Yeah.
It's a great store. I mean, there's Star aisles and aisles of like 20 deep Star Wars figures.
Yeah. And it looks like everything's been like lovingly repackaged.
Yes.
You know, it's
a lot of them are original packages.
Right. But there's also rows and rows of stuff where they've gone to the trouble. They're not just, it's not just like loose junk in a bin. There are rows of stuff repackaged for you to collect. Yes.
The ones out of the package are each in their individual little plastic bag. It's not a Ziploc bag. It's like quality, quality plastic bag, but a thicker plastic bag than a Ziploc. But
something that can protect them a little better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Someone really cares about that store, and I hope that people can flock from all around to support it.
If you live in the Midwest or anywhere around the Midwest, you should go there. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And the people there are super nice. They had Empire playing on the TV when I walked in, so I knew I was in the right place.
Someone sold you out. Someone told them you were coming.
Yeah.
They knew how to tickle your nethers.
Oh, it was great. Yes. Check that out if you live around here or not.
Or if nothing else, get on Craigslist and look for it.
Oh, yeah. They have eBay site as well. And their prices are really good.
That's really awesome. Good.
They charge eBay prices instead of collectible prices, I guess.
I kind of wish I'd known about this a couple weeks ago when I was in Kokomo.
We should go there sometime.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, all right. And you guys, you and Howie, I know you are what we call maybe fans of video games, perhaps.
Not enough to host a podcast.
Well, I'm sure, Corey, I know you have
listen to Press Play actually to save. Owned some of these in your local podcast directory.
Yes, Press Play to save.
Wait, which episode do they need to listen to, Gary?
All of them.
All of 50 the episodes. Whatever episodes.
It's not but rough.
I know Corey owns the Disney Infinity figures. Correct, you own the.
Yes, I spent entirely too much money on Disney Infinity. Yes. Well,
they're coming out with Disney Infinity 2.0.
I know.
Which they're rolling out first with Marvel, which includes the Avengers, also Spider-Man and Guardians of the Galaxy.
And hopefully better gameplay than the first one.
Hopefully. It looked kind of cool, but
really there's a lot of good guts there. It's not organized very well. It's the first Disney Infinity it's hard to figure out how to do what you want to do unless you just want to go in and horse around. Yeah, if you want to get in and play a game, it's actually not that intuitive, especially for a child.
From the interview and the video I saw, it looked like they're going to focus more on the toy box mode than the regular, I guess, story mode or whatever mode.
And it looks like with the first one, they tried to do that late in the game. So they just dump you in the toy box instead of like having you load into a game or just visit the toy box. You start off in the toy box and you're just standing there and you're like, what am I supposed to do? And you have to like go to a portal to then enter a game. It's weird.
Well, I guess now they have mini games. But anyway, the reason I bring it up is during an interview with one of the developers or creators of the Infinity line, they teased possibly a Star Wars Disney Infinity release maybe in 2015.
Yay!
Now they didn't really come out and say, oh, we're releasing Star Wars in 2015. What they said in the interview was, we have a favorite character. It's a female character, but we're not allowed to tell you that. Well, who it is. Apparently they're interviewing Hagrid, which was probably a bad move on Disney's part to have them as their spokesperson.
He's not even a Disney property. That was just a horrible PR move.
But during the interview, they were asking, okay, when is this figure going to be released? And they said, it's not too far, far away. Wink. It's in 2015.
Wink. No.
Oh, yeah. So there's that. That's the only thing we got. I mean, if they want the monies, they'll obviously make these into Star Wars. I mean, Disney Infinity is pretty popular with the kiddos, I imagine. But yeah, so that would be sweet.
That would be how to get me to buy Disney Infinity 2.0, even though I'm sure the Marvel stuff, because that's the thing. The actual play sets, which are the game portions of the game, are really a lot of fun. They're great little platformer collector type, games. I kind of wish they were a little more. It's just the organization, like I said before. So when it comes to second time around, I don't know if Marvel's enough to get me to jump the gun, but Star Wars probably will
They have Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's the other thing. Well, yeah.
All of them.
All the ways that I can try to poison my daughter to be more like a nerd and less into the princess stuff. I'm not going to say she can't be into the princess stuff, but I just need to make sure that she's nerd friendly.
She needs to be real well-rounded.
Mine is. I'm bringing her on. She wanted to get this.
Well, your kid was like three and wanted to watch Zombieland or something like that. She did. Right.
No, the other night we wanted to go downstairs and I'm like, I got to watch Phantom Menace. I got to just pop it in and get power through it.
You had to.
I wanted to go back and experience it again. And
he wanted to watch.
My daughter stopped me. She's seven. And she says, no, Dad, we're watching A New Hope. And she took it off.
That's right. So that's good parenting.
She's an original.
She parented you well.
She is an original trilogy fan, and she'll take Luke any day of the week. So
not awesome. Okay.
I guess that's okay.
That's all right, I guess. That's good. I'm hoping for the same thing. My daughter gets excited every time she sees something Star Wars, but it's still because she knows Daddy likes it. So, like, I plan to watch Rebels.
I'll tell you, that's my plan, from the get-go, to watch Rebels.
Because
my daughter liked Clone Wars. She was an Ahsoka fan.
The
last episode, she was kind of. Actually,
I got my daughter to watch Legend of Korra with me, which we're only partway through, so no spoilers. But I got her to watch it. I'm like, we're going to watch a new show. Cause she's like, let's watch a Josie show. That's what she says.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, we're going to watch a show for both of us. And what is it? I'm like, and I'm thinking, okay, how do I sell this pseudo anime kung fu-y type show to her? And I'm like, well, there's a girl in it who can make ice like Elsa.
Ah, yeah. See, that's
nice transition there.
That's and how she's like, cool.
That's how I got her to watch the original trilogy. I'm like, there's a princess in it. Yeah. What?
What? A Disney princess. Not at the time, but now. Retcon. Awesome.
I'm hoping one of my four I can get into.
They will.
You just want to.
They'll be there.
At least one of my four.
The oldest one was kind of briefly into it, but.
Yeah, it's because her cousins were into it, I think.
And yeah. So, anywho, Garrick, do you have any more left on the toy front?
No.
Moving on.
Right to close that one up. Hey, guys. Okay.
Yo.
You know what that means? It's time for...
What?
It's time for the Fan of the Week.
What?
Star Wars Fan of the Week.
Yes.
It's my favorite.
Ladies and gentlemen, our guest tonight is Mr. Ice-T. Ice, thank you for being here. So when did you know that you were a Star Wars fan?
When did I know? Well, it was right after I got out the Army that I originally saw the film, and I was immediately straight up hooked. At the time, we was robbing banks, boosting car stereos, things like that. So I started throwing around some Jedi Kung Fu and shit, right? And man, I was cutting fools with a broomstick covered in Christmas lights, because that's how I thought a gangster should throw down. It wasn't until I signed with Sire that I fell in with some of the other OGs who were in on the wars, man. DJ Evil E, DJ Aladdin, Africa Islam, DJ Chubby Euro, Punchy Salad Shooter, Ambiguously Acrimonious K, DJ Johnny Sparkles, and Fat Chad, to name a few. Yeah, we actually got together to record a dramatic fan fiction radio play, but then everybody got high, and it just evolved into recording my first LP, Ron Pace, which had nothing to do directly with Star Wars.
But, it didn't. That's true.
But a lot of people don't know that Cop Killer was actually a rock song originally about killing stormtroopers who were clearly the white police presence in the Star Wars universe. But all the bad press was sending sales through the roof. So, hey, when DJ Chunky Simon convinced me to change it from its original name, Trooper Shooter, I guess he was right. But rest in peace, homie.
So what did you do then?
Man, what didn't I do? We started boosting rockets from NASA and the Russian space program and stashing them at Funky Linen Fresh's crib.
What did you need rockets for?
To go to the moon like proper space gangsters. Thankfully, DJ Bottlebrush had a PhD in astrophysical engineering, and I myself have been studying command tactics while DJ Plumber's Crack was brushing up on his linguistics. So,
well, what about Funky Linen? You were stashing him at his house. I would think he'd want to.
Man, we made that navigate. He was pissed. Boy, no doubt about that, though.
So, how did it go? Did you make it to the moon?
Nah, we just did a drive-by. We let incredulously D.I.K. ride along, and he leaned out the window with his Gat-9, tried to shoot his name in the dust, but only got so far as I.N. before he ran out of bullets, so.
Well, that's great. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
Yeah, I want to give a shout-out to the members of the OG Star Wars Book Club and its members, DJ Floppy Flapjack, Monster Matt, DJ Cool Coldness, Thelonious Filbert, Easy EQ Knob, DJ Dark and Dank, DJ Necktie, MC Ricketts, DJ Tooth Obsession, Pringles Paul, MLFM, DJ Shankenbank, DJ Spreadsheet, MC Knickerbocker, Morbidly Obese Omar, Lil Ponier, Tucker Van Housen III, DJ Dragon Baller, DJ Creme Fresh, DJ Broccolily, Squishy DPS, MC Cross Stitch, Robot Manda, Leroy, Squishy Boulder, DJ Lucky Charm, Tickle Me Home, Chucky Q, Chucky B,
I like DJ Chucky Dragon Ball, that's
DJ
the best.
DJ Drive Shack,
still going.
DJ Sitcom, Ray Maron,
wow.
Ginger Joe, MC Alphabets, DJ Girl Dress,
how long
DJ
does this one
Angry Face, Stabbing Steve Jenkins,
cue the music.
Andre the Average.
Ice. I don't think you can hear us.
Cardboard. DJ Ramsey.
Ice. Ice T.
Mr. T.
Tanner. Ice T.
Connor.
Come on.
It's not Mr. T.
Mr. Ice T.
Scorpion from
T. T.
DJ Teenage Angst.
Oh, wow.
Oh, jeez.
That was quite a ride. Seriously, there must have been some intense discussion in that book club. Some intense discussion. I think there was a little East Side and West Side in there.
Star Wars brings the sides together.
DJ Spreadsheet, huh?
DJ Spreadsheet was really into... Actually, he was into cosplay. A lot of people don't know that about DJ Spreadsheet, but he was really into really complex cosplay. I don't know where to go with that. You learn something new every day, though, huh, boys?
No spreadsheet, no Excel every jokes, day. So we can pop in there.
No, you know, I spend 8 hours a day with my doing nose buried in spreadsheets.
You can't pull it out of your
There's head. No humor left in it.
I agree.
Yeah, I'm with you. Woo! All right. Wow, what a ride. Woo. Hey, Garrick, tell us what happened, because you, my friend, were given homework at the time of our last recording.
That's right.
Pertaining to Gen Con.
Gen Con. Oh, I did that homework.
You did?
I swear. Maybe.
Yeah, well, I haven't had anything turned
well,
in to me. When do you plan on actually turning it in, Garrick? I'm going to dock you a letter grade for every day it's late.
You promised us pictures and everything. Now, I saw some on Twitter, right?
I gave some pictures, yeah. Oh. I mean, Gen Con really isn't a giant Star Wars
Wait. What is Gen Con? What is that?
It's
Gen
joke
Con.
Again. Gen Convention.
They did this on the other show, on Press Play as well.
Oh,
so
did they? Oh, yeah. We retold the story as a joke.
But anyway, I saw the Star Wars Armada, which is the capital ship tabletop game with the Star Destroyers and whatnot. And I'm not going to pretend like I knew what was going on, but it was kind of cool seeing all the pretty ships shooting other ships with lasers and
whatever. You can do that one of two ways. You can buy the game and try to play it, or you can buy the game and just like, look, man, this is pretty cool.
This stuff can go on the shelf and look pretty.
They absolutely look pretty.
Yeah.
I picked one up and they weren't as high quality as I thought they would be, but they are very, very detailed.
Nice.
They're made out of like maybe a foam type substance.
I figured it was like a resin.
Yeah, maybe that's it. They felt really light.
Oh, really?
Cardboardy, but not cardboard.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I watched a little bit of how they were playing, and it looked kind of neat. Very strategical. They had a...
Now, was it like a dice thing? I mean, I know nothing about this kind of game.
It's kind of like a Warhammer type game where you have a certain... Yeah, I know. We have a certain movement phase. I guess it seemed like an attack phase, but you move them a certain distance, and they put down asteroids that you could use for cover.
At any point, was anyone swinging a tape measure around?
No, it comes with these little measures that you can move it to certain points on this thing, I believe.
Okay.
I don't know what was going on.
Yeah, they're like these little templates that you can lay out in front of the figures that show how they can navigate and what their firing arcs
are. They're spread, and they had these little dial thingies that they turned. I'm not sure what those are for. You should check it out. It looked kind of fun. The two guys that were playing looked like they were having a good time.
So. Maybe next time you're in town, we'll just go make Aaron play with us so we can learn how to
play. Absolutely. Yeah. And I also did play Dejarik, or however you pronounce it.
Did you win the tournament?
Did you let the rookie win?
No, I let the wife win.
They and have been known to tear certain things off, maybe not arms.
Yeah.
And by let, I mean she whooped my butt.
Yeah.
But it was pretty cool. I don't think it's an official licensed Star Wars game.
Never play space chess with a lawyer. That's the lesson to take away from that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Or someone who can roll 3 crits in a row.
Yeah.
Also, don't do that. Yeah.
There's rolling in Dejarik then.
Oh, yes. Well, I was about to say, I don't think it's an officially licensed game.
Right.
I think someone just took rules from the Star Wars miniature game.
Oh, yeah. That's been going on forever.
Oh, you know?
I mean, you could play Sabic in chat rooms in AOL.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they shrunk it down. They simplified it. So it's more like if you play Dungeons & Dragons, or I guess a Star Wars role-playing game with combat. Dungeons
and Dragons. I'm unfamiliar with it. I'm sorry.
Dungeons and or Dragons is a role-playing game.
That's a cartoon from the 80s.
Is that D&D?
Oh, D&D. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
sorry.
D&D. It's like D&D 4.0.
Monster Manual.
You know, you can move. Your guy does a certain amount of damage. He does certain moves, but... It was kind of fun. They were selling the figures there for about $2 a piece.
That's not bad.
4 on each side. So whatever the math is there, that's how much it costs.
And then, again, not a lawyer.
Yeah, but it was fun. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to post the rules online. They didn't say I wasn't supposed to. So I'm going to do it anyway. I'm
going to
post them online once I find them. They're in my bag.
Well, look and see if they've posted them online and then link to them.
Well, that's good.
That's the friendly way to blog.
I actually didn't get the name of the company that made it. I think it was just a dude. Dejarik.
I'm sure.
I think it was just a dude who made a board and decided to put rules down. But
hey, if it works well.
It was fun. It was very balanced. I mean, except the part where she started destroying all my guys with criticals
with wife
every
crits.
Roll.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. And then lastly, I actually met Troy Denning there.
Wow.
Who is a huge Star Wars writer who's written countless Star Wars books.
He has.
Did you get him to sign your
13.
Chest? Did he sign your chest?
I'm not at liberty to say.
Oh.
No, I'm just... I did get him to sign my Star by Star, which is his first Star Wars novel.
Yeah.
And he did say, hey, this is in pretty good shape.
Wait a second. He's the one that... Did you even read this?
That's exactly what I thought. I'm like, I've read it twice. I'm like, I just like keep
I take care
taking
of my
good
book.
Care of my stuff.
Now, here's my question. I'm assuming you knew Troy Denning was going to be there because I've never seen you just walk around carrying Star by Star.
No, I carry it everywhere.
But it's in really good shape.
Did you look at him and say, you killed Anakin?
He didn't kill Anakin, did he?
Yes, he did. Star by Star.
Oh, Anakin. Man, I didn't know that.
Sorry.
Spoilers, dang. Everybody. Spoilers. Sorry.
And not the Anakin you think.
No, yeah. He died too, unless he comes back. We don't know.
I knew Troy Denning would be there, and I knew R.A. Salvatore, who wrote Vector Prime, and I knew Stackpole was going
to
be there.
I would go stand in a line to meet R.A. Salvatore at a Star Wars convention just to have him sign like an Xbox copy of Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance 2.
Oh, yeah.
I would be that guy. I'd be like, I hate your Star Wars book, but this stuff is great.
Actually, it's funny
to
mention that because it was like the inverse for me because there was a Dungeons and Dragons sign thing because they were in the Dungeons and Dragons section in this huge castle surrounded by Dungeons and Dragons like D&D.
Oh, well, right.
Like statues. They had like Dritz, like life size, and this panther guy.
Dritz Doerden.
And then all the people in front of me are like have these game manuals or whatever of D&D. And I come up, I'm like, I know this is a D&D signing, but would you mind signing my Star Wars book?
Yes.
And he was super nice about everything. I actually gave him a flyer for our podcast and he signed that. And he's like, hey, let me have one of those. I'm like, well, I mean, you have never listened to it, but could you sign that? He's like, I'll listen to it. I'm like, so.
Hopefully he listens to the right episode.
That's right.
Again, I love your D&D stuff.
Yeah.
So Troy Denning is
actually,
now listening,
you know what?
I guess.
He wrote episode 2. the novelization episode 2. Is
that
correct?
Was a good one.
Did he?
Yes. No. R.A. Salvatore. Was it 2 or 3? He wrote one
I'm
of them.
I'm talking about Troy Denning, not R.A. Salvatore.
I know, but I'm talking about Salvatore.
But yeah, you might be right. Yeah, he might have written. Maybe.
That was good. That was good. The dude can write.
Yeah.
Yeah, he can.
I don't know what Vector Prime. Actually, I don't know what kind of thing.
I think he was under a lot of restrictions for that.
So Troy Denning was saying he would listen.
Yeah, Troy Denning.
Hey, and how old is Troy Denning? I can't even picture him. Put him in a decade. 50, 60?
I think he was born in 1958.
Okay.
So whatever the math is there.
June 7th, 1958. Late 50s. Somewhere in the neighborhood of 6:32 p.m.
He was a super nice guy.
Yeah.
He let me take a picture with him and post it on Twitter. Yeah, and he actually... replied to my tweet. He retweeted me and replied to my tweet.
Yeah, that was a long one. That was
the whole part on the world ship I found confusing, but for the same reason why I found Vector Prime so difficult to read. Anytime when you're reading something that's a completely foreign concept that doesn't compare to really anything that you know, it's really harder to follow.
Sure.
Other than, you know, those scenes, like everything else about it, I enjoyed. I enjoyed the plot quite a bit. So,
I saw R.A. Salvatore from a distance, but his line was already closed when I got there.
Oh, really?
Aww. Yeah. Aww. And this his second signing, I was at the Jim Butcher Q&A, so I didn't get that. And
did you get Jim Butcher to sign your chest?
No.
Good. Because otherwise I would have had to take your chest and to a taxidermist and had it mounted.
Hey, what are you going to do to Garrett?
And unfortunately, I didn't see Michael Stackpole anywhere, so I was kind of disappointed at that.
Was he supposed to be there?
Yeah, he was there.
Oh.
But man. I think he... Stackpole. I don't know Stackpole, where his son was.
Stackpole. Yeah. We need to get him on the show. Who's going to get on that? Howie?
Yeah.
Howie. Put your feelers out there. Put your Stackpole feelers.
Right. Stackpole.
Feel that Stackpole.
Done.
Yep.
Sweet. Next week.
Yep. Stackpole live on... No. Live.
Maybe.
That was my Gen Con experience.
Howie does his homework.
Star Wars. I came away with a Mara Jade... Kota Boyuka statue or something.
I love that statue. That's sweet.
Yeah. It's my favorite.
Yeah.
They actually had one there for sale and I bought it. It's awesome.
Well done.
Post it on Twitter.
Nice.
Look at it. Envy me.
I'm gonna. All right. That was a Gen Con report, which doesn't have theme music. But everyone pause quietly.
Wait. Here we go. Yeah.
For rumors. It's playing now, right?
I think it's playing.
Yeah. Man, that was great. How refreshing it was to have that music for the rumor segment. Man, I'm all charged and ready to talk about rumors and whatnot.
That really got me in the mood, you know?
I buckled my safety belt.
It's still playing.
Nope.
No.
Okay, man,
that's longer than
that. That was great. I'm tied up in knots.
All right. Well, boys, we've got some... we're just keep building and building and building on these rumors, man. Keep getting crazier and crazier. And we're going to dive right in, man, because they're not litting up. They are not litting up.
They lit up a thing.
Nothing.
Did not let up.
So here we go, man. Here's the latest round of them from the past week. So
hit me.
We've heard that Han Solo and Chewbacca at the beginning of Episode 7 do not have possession of the Millennium Falcon. By all accounts, Oscar Isaac is going to have the ship for some reason, and we don't know who he is yet. But so that leaves us scratching our head as to what the heck Han Solo and Chewbacca are doing. And now we're being told this week that Han Solo and Chewbacca are actually piloting a Star Destroyer.
Now, when you say piloting a Star Destroyer, what exactly is that supposed to mean?
You mean captaining a Star Destroyer?
As far as I know, a Star Destroyer has a skeleton crew of over 800. Thank you very much.
Are they working the helm? Maybe they're working the helm.
I don't know. Did
maybe they're just peering out the forward viewport and sighing heavily about the fact that they can no longer pilot a vehicle because it's entirely too large.
Well, tell me, did Booster Tarek have a whole crew of 800?
Booster Tarek. Booster Tarek had a lot of the non-essential systems removed, and
It
didn't have as much power consumption.
This is Han Solo. I'm sure he's made some special modifications.
What the hell would you cry? I'm not going to debate your finer points. You started your weaponry.
So anyway, let me weave in another piece here, because last time we talked about the leaked photos of of clothing that Han Solo is supposed to be wearing in the picture. And indeed, one of those had military insignia on it.
Right.
So now it begs the question, oh, is Han Solo part of the military in some regard? If he's captaining, you know, a Star Destroyer, or as a commander or whatever,
yeah,
the Star Destroyer, is he a military person?
Right.
I don't know. What do you guys think about that? If it turns out that he is in the military.
Does he have blue skin?
He does not have blue skin.
Oh.
Sorry,
that's
Garrick.
That's too bad.
So, I don't know. To me, kind of makes sense. I mean, makes sense because we go off on another rumor about Han Solo and Princess Leia might not be together, but to me, this might be an argument that they would be together, maybe.
But just separate. Together, but separate.
Right. In the sense that she's in politics, and right, he's in the military, and, you know.
I don't like the idea of Han Solo being in the military, and I don't want to sound like an EU brat, but right, give me a second. The dude comes from smuggling. He comes right from a background of looking out for himself. And even the way... Well, I know he has military background before right that, but you know what? Yeah. That didn't work out, did it, Mike?
Well, that's legends, no. So
actually, I'll bet you all that's still kind of canon. The whole pre...
I'll bet that his pre-story...
His backstory is...
Backstory, yeah, puts him back in the canon.
Didn't he those, blow up by part the way, of a those moon
Han Solo novels
on Kurita?
Something like that.
Wait. Who? I was listening
things
to
things went real sour on Kurita with Han. He blew up part of a moon or something.
He like did?
That. I thought somebody did.
No, that was the Sun Crusher. That was...
No, that they was, blew up everything.
Yeah, that blew up the solar system.
Right. But I thought...
Anyhow, I think he's more of a just... He's more effective doing things his own way.
Right.
And and the last thing I want to hear is some like old retired guy who's been saying, that General Solo or that Admiral Solo, he's a loose cannon, he's a loose gun.
Yeah, he keeps
and by
going
God,
down
that's the reason he's the best
slides
damned officer I ever put commissioned.
Okay, well then
that's Reekin. It's General Reekin on his deathbed.
Nice. Now we could turn this around and go the Booster Terek way and say that he's like, screw the Falcon, I got me a Star Destroyer now. Yeah. And him and Chewie are gallivanting around the galaxy in a Star Destroyer.
How dare you say screw the Falcon as if they came from Han Solo's lips?
Look,
how dare you, sir?
This isn't me. This is these are the rumors.
The rumors. I'm okay with it. It to me is not the rightest way, but yeah, I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
It'd be all
right. Right. I don't know. We'll see how it plays out.
Hopefully Garrick and Howie will calm the crap down about that.
Yeah, you guys are just way too full of energy.
Star Destroyers. I can't
believe crushers.
It. Howie's projecting.
Sun Crushers.
I'm still trying to figure out who blew up the part of the moon at Kurita.
I think it was a Sun Crusher. I think he blew up the solar system and destroyed all of them.
Well, that also happened.
He was the one that destroyed Kurita because that's where he... didn't he escape from there? I don't know. We're getting too off track. So we're talking EU
who's
crap now that nobody knows.
Who's he?
There are people who know.
Kip Duran is
Kip Duran,
the name
right
of the board. No, he escaped from
the mines of Kessel.
Yeah,
was he
Kessel
the one? Okay, all right. Yeah, but I thought he had a brother or something that was in the academy.
You know, I'm going to admit something that it's hard for me to admit. I've never really gotten all the way through the Jedi Academy trilogy.
Oh. My Lord.
Seriously? I'm sorry, Kevin J. Anderson. I don't hate you. Don't hate me back.
How did you enjoy I, Jedi?
Because by that time, I knew all about the Jedi Academy trilogy. But it was... I always tell people to read the Jedi Academy trilogy first.
Yeah, and then read
like a
Jedi,
total hypocrite.
Right.
Because I think the reason I can't read it is because I read I, Jedi first. And I think I've tried probably 3 or 4 times to start, and I'll get a little ways in and then just kind of go, glowy space spiders, I'm done.
All right, back to rumors. Anyway, all right. So, be interesting to see if he's piloting a Star Destroyer and in what capacity. So, next rumor we have, there's a lot more coming out about the villains, man. And this whole rumor about the villains has kind of developed over time. If you remember when we first started reporting this, probably about episode 2, that they were called Jedi Hunters initially.
Yeah.
And now they've kind of morphed into what are now being described or called Sith Inquisitors.
Which is a term that is borrowed from the EU of
it is
the far, far old Republic.
Right. But also ties into Star Wars.
I think it's
Rebels.
Just called the Old Republic.
Star Wars Rebels has, I mean, the main main antagonist in Star Wars Rebels is going to be the Inquisitor.
That's true.
So there, I mean, so there's tie-ins here. So I think there's some believability.
Voiced by Lucius Malfoy.
Right. So, yes, voiced by Lucius Malfoy. Actually, there's a rumor about that, too, I'm going to get into.
So. Oh, man. Rumors upon rumors.
Yeah, I know. So let's get through the Sith Inquisitor thing. So anyway, there's some validity here.
Let's get through this.
Some believability about them being called the Sith Inquisitors because of the tie-in, you know, from Rebels.
Right.
So, and basically what it's being said is that these Sith Inquisitors they were brought in by Darth Vader. Darth Vader actually trained them. They're not Sith, but they're Sith trained.
Right.
And they were...
They're not lords of the Sith.
No, they are not lords of the Sith.
There can be only two.
Right. They did the bidding of the Sith.
After Bane.
They were basically the hand that went out and killed that
hand?
Well.
The Emperor's hand?
No, not the Emperor's hand.
Cortosis? I see what you did there.
The hand of Vader, perhaps, to go out and eliminate the Jedi.
Already a Vader's hand? Wasn't there a hand of Vader?
Starkiller.
These Sith Inquisitors. So, and this ties into rumors again about Rebels and about these flashbacks that are supposed to take place with Vader, you know, making an appearance. Somehow they're going to tie him or depict these Sith Inquisitors serving him,
right,
in some capacity.
Maybe that's your flashback.
It could be
flashbacks.
I'm just saying
are no flashbacks in Star Wars.
If there is flashbacks, this is what that's what he said.
I learned that from me.
So anyway, okay, I want to get back to this the actor that is playing the Inquisitor in Rebels.
Yes, his name is Lucius Malfoy.
It's Jason. What is it?
Isaacs.
What's his last name? Jason Isaacs is playing this now. Somebody brought up a real interesting point on another podcast, and I wish I could remember what it was, but
but never mind that. Let's move on.
You could have just not said that and use as our original material.
Yeah, right? True. I could have, but I'm not. So
I think it was
Rebel Force Radio guys were yapping about this.
they were just running these mouths.
I think it was far away.
Anyway, they were saying that, okay, why bring in somebody of the caliber of Jason Isaacs to play a voice actor?
Got an awesome voice.
He does.
Yeah.
But the point that they were making,
and they got a lot of money,
that when you have someone that has got that kind of screen cred, you know, the theory, the rumor is he going to make an appearance in this new sequel trilogy?
Does he have that kind of screen cred?
I don't know.
I mean, he's been in a few good movies and several big budget movies, but
he's pretty good on screen.
No, I'm not arguing that. I like him a lot. But, you know, is he exactly a box office draw?
Well, no, but his character wouldn't be anyway. Well, I don't know. I mean, if he ends up being the head Sith Inquisitor, like the main, you know, or one of the main antagonists of this new trilogy. I don't know. I mean, could he carry that? I don't know.
I'm sure he could.
Wouldn't he be like 100 years old?
You guys need to understand, this isn't his first voice credit. Bringing it back around, he was a voice of Commander Zhao on The Legend of Korra.
Oh, well.
Did I just blow your mind, Garrett?
You did.
You just blew my mind.
He was in one episode.
I was trying to think, Commander Zhao. Oh, right. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah.
So you guys don't find much credibility in this? I mean,
he's done several things. He's done voice work for several things. Sure. He was the voice of Sinestro in a Green Lantern movie, an animated Green Lantern movie.
But I mean, did he do any series? To me, that would be the question. Because he's going to be long term now. I mean, he's roped into this for 5 years.
He was the voice of Sinestro in a Green Lantern movie, and he's also the voice of Ra's al Ghul on Batman Under the Red Hood. So it's kind of like, I mean, that's not a series, but those are DC properties. So they're coming back to the same well. It looks like that's something he enjoys doing, judging from this anonymous website that's telling me everything he's ever been in that no one I'm sure has ever heard.
Garrett, getting back to what you're saying, would the guy be 100 years old and blah, blah, blah? Yeah, I mean, obviously he would be older because this is sometime after.
Holy cow, he was in Avatar.
The events of Rebels, but I mean, I don't know if he's
an alien
or if he's a human or what. So, you know, I mean,
that's a good point.
You just don't know. So I don't know enough about that character yet. Until
about the Inquisitor,
right? If he's
Utapauan. He's Utapauan.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he's okay. From Utapau. The okay, guys so, with the tall heads and the pointy
yeah,
teeth.
Right. So, yeah, maybe he's got a longer lifespan. I don't know.
Could
so.
Be.
So anyway, that's just what's kind of being trickled out there right now. That I, you know, they wonder if he could be pulled into the movie somehow. So.
I honestly get the impression from him and from interviews and things like that I've heard of him is that dude just kind of likes to have fun. He plays all these very regal and serious roles, but he seems to just be kind of just, yeah, I just want to have fun, be into what I'm doing.
Right.
You know, though he's way smoother than that.
I'd see it more likely that the kid from Rebels would be in the future movies, because it seems like they're building him up to be something. And I don't know if they're going to fully realize that in the TV show.
Yeah.
Or maybe, what's his name? Ezra? Because it seems like that's the whole kind of... like the main side story is to train this kid in the Force, but to what end? Right. I mean, is he going to be in these episodes 7, 8, 9 or make an appearance or what?
Is everybody on the show going to die in the last episode? Yeah, I mean, they've got to have, somebody's going to have a future.
Right.
Even if they do go full on Firefly and murder half of everybody, still half of everybody walks away.
Leaf on the wind.
Right. Well, and that's the whole thing. I mean, we're talking about the cohesion earlier that Disney's trying to bring to this. You know, how much do they bring over from this new? I mean, they're pimping this new series. I mean, this is their kind of launching pad for this new cohesion that they're trying to do.
Right.
You know, so it seems
you'd think they want to.
It would be plausible
have that thread long enough to needle through some other things. I agree.
Right.
I agree. I think it's possible.
Yeah. Whether it's Ezra or the Inquisitor or some other character, I. Heck, even Ahsoka. I know that's kind of a...
Oh, that'd be sweet.
Me too. I'd love to see that, so...
I would also like to point out that he was the voice of Satan in Castlevania Lords of Shadow
2. Oh, well, there you go.
Which that's is perfect. The end of the podcast.
It's a video game. We're talking about too much screen cred to do just a major primetime animated series. Look,
this isn't my stuff. This is what everybody else is
you
talking about.
You threw it in front of me, sir. You threw it in front of me.
The messenger man.
I'll bite the hand that feeds me if I want.
Speaking of the main antagonist in the new sequel trilogy, and this is where things are just starting to get too stupid for me. So,
well, you're in the right segment.
Wow, we are. Yeah. So, and I'll give you my point and what I think is going on here. But rumors making the rounds this week, and I saw this first come through my email. And then I'm like, whatever. And then it kept popping up over and over. And I'm like, you got to
be crapping. I'm on the edge of my seat. What is it, man?
All right, here we go. Rumors are making the rounds that the main villain in Star Wars Episode 7 is Darth Sidious.
Nope.
Nope.
I would like to point out that for the Fly Casual family, I'm the one who broke this news. And I don't break any news for the Fly Casual family, but it were me on Twitter because when I saw this, I'm like, anything. I have to tweet this garbage.
This is insane. So now.
Not played by Ian McDermott,
Yeah, which is just goofy.
Right.
Oh, maybe it's his clone.
But, yeah, it's a younger
here
clone.
We go. Yeah, here we go. Guys, Episode 7 is Dark Empire. We figured it out.
Wow.
Han and Chewie are piloting the Super Star Destroyer Eclipse that has a super laser along its bow, and they all get destroyed in a force storm after Leia gets Luke saved from the dark side.
Oh, this is great. Now, are there any floating hands clasping lightsabers in that comic? I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember the opening panels, but sure.
So not only do we have now, according to these rumors, Darth Vader making an appearance in this, but Palpatine, and I just can't help but ask myself, did Return of the Jedi not even happen? I mean, what the hell?
Now, how do we know?
I mean, is that out of canon now?
How do we know? Where did this rumor come from? Where did this rumor even come from? I mean, it could be for one of the spinoff movies. Maybe they're casting
Vader.
Did this one come
from Cinema Blend or?
This came from a whole bunch of them blogging about this. Okay. So I don't know. I don't know what the original source was. Most of them right now are being broken by
this. We specifically have called it from Star Wars Underground.
Here's just give you some explanation of what's been happening here. The stormtrooper helmets that came out a couple weeks ago,
right?
Were broken by a blog that nobody had ever heard of. This it's called Indie Revolver or something like that. They're the ones that broke those. because
yeah, jerk. Yeah.
So isn't anyway, that what he they, shot they, the guy with the scimitar with?
What
we lost you on that one. What was it?
Indie Scimitar.
Oh, an indie revolver. Yeah. Yeah,
get it?
I'm glad we went back to that.
Yeah. I'm glad we took the time to revisit that one.
Yeah.
So anyway, they broke the Star Wars or the Stormtrooper helmet thing, which we come to find out that Latino Review and Badass Digest were sitting on those pictures. And they're sitting on a lot of these rumors. They haven't let everything out, these two places. So now that this indie revolver has gotten the game and they're letting things fly, Latino Review and Badass Digest feel like, oh, shoot, we gotta corroborate and we got to get in this game, too. I mean, you know, that's these true. Guys are trying to compete. So they're just letting it all fly. So I think that's why these last 2 weeks we've just got just flooded with all these rumors.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. To me, probably the story, the main line of the story is in there somewhere, but there's a lot of BS out there too. And and I think on top of that, with all this flood, because there's talk now that JJ's pretty upset about all these leaks and everything that's going on.
Right.
And I think Disney's probably behind closed doors fighting back a little bit. So I think like some of these leaks and some of these things that we're hearing now is just, it's the misdirection that we've been talking about that was going to be coming.
I'm telling you, it's going to happen whether it happens now or later. But you're going to forget anything you heard right now because, you know, 3, 5, 6, 8 months from now, you're going to be inundating so much garbage and misdirection.
Right.
Just wait till that first teaser comes out.
And then you go see that. When we finally sit down and see the movie, we'll be like, all that stuff from back when it started is what it was. Oh, man, I forgot all about that.
We'll have to do a compilation recorder of all the rumors.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Han Solo's flying a Star Destroyer all by his dang self. Chewie's down working.
There's no crew.
He's up working on the shield. Does
it have like a wheel like on a schooner or something? Just,
exactly.
A bunch of chess.
So Han's
sitting in a reclined pilot chair with a bunch of ropes tied to him a la Macaulay Culkin in Home Alone. He's just wobbling his hands around trying to control all the stations.
It was the Christmas tree.
Okay, so the whole Palpatine just too ridiculous. I mean, we're just
no. I don't think anything's too ridiculous.
I was gonna say we're talking about JJ, right? I mean, Khan. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
He brought all that goofy stuff
He's
back.
He's not
right?
against going back to the world.
Khan's not goofy.
Garrett, come on, man.
It was a little goofy.
Yeah, radiation death, and come on, man. I mean,
I wouldn't put it past JJ to go back to the same well. People want what's familiar.
What do you expect?
You really expect a completely new thing when you're trying so hard to make Star Wars feel like Star Wars again? Do you really think it's going to be like, okay, let's go fight the Sea Ruvi? You're the Sea Rook. What, you know, like, all right, it's Jurassic Park meets Star Wars. Everybody's fighting blue velociraptors. Hooray. You know?
I mean, all good points. I mean, I don't put anything past them. I think we've said it before. JJ's good at the look and feel, not necessarily the story. So, we're going to keep saying that. So, when I hear some of these rumors, as ridiculous and goofy as they are, with him, they're plausible.
Yeah, I'll say he's top notch at look and feel. He's not top notch at story.
Yeah, and I'm kind of with Garrick on this one. I don't know if I believe the Palpatine stuff. I think that's a little too far out.
It seems a little
far out. I'll buy like the flashbacks and the hand floating through space and stuff like that. But Palpatine, I'm just like, what?
But let's say all these Sith Inquisitors, though, are just remnants of Palpatine and Vader and stuff like that. That still makes them part of the story, even if they are still dead and gone.
Yeah.
I find that plausible.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, hey.
I don't know. We'll see. Okay, so next set of rumors coming out. That's kind of the end of the story stuff, but we're kind of getting back to a couple of the characters now. Last time we reported that Daisy Ridley it's being reported now that she's in for all three movies, kind of indicating to everyone that she's going to be the center point of the trilogy. And have you guys... this week,
do we have a new princess? Disney princess?
We don't have a new Disney princess. I don't know if she's a princess, but there's rumors about her having a brother. Maybe
Jason.
Dun, dun, dun. I know. Well, here's the thing, man. This past week, I guess Adam Driver. Okay, and everybody from the beginning thought Adam Driver. Oh, he's a menacing character. He's going to be a villain. Blah 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 blah. He's going to be a Jedi hunter. And then somebody kind of notices, like, you know what? He kind of looks a little bit like Harrison Ford. And
a little bit.
Yeah. So I think we mentioned that in one of our first two or three podcasts, said, oh, okay, I could see maybe maybe they're going to do this,
this brother-sister thing after all. And then...
And their names are going to be Boba and and Xenu.
Yeah.
Nope. Right.
So anyway, okay, so... And that talk kind of quelled, you know, quieted down a little bit the last few weeks. And now, all of a sudden, Adam Driver does the cover of GQ Magazine. If you guys haven't seen this, pull it up and take a look.
Like right now?
Yeah, do it. So if you haven't seen it, so... anyway, so everybody,
see, wait, I can't listen and type at the same time.
Well, I had it linked on the show notes there, buddy. No, you don't.
I got the cover up and all I can see is that red box down at the bottom, right?
Every picture that came up is just his chest.
It says,
all right. So I'm going to have to pull this up for these guys so they can see it. All right. It's on our Facebook.
It was easy for me to pull up.
Yeah. See, there you go, Corey.
Corey just sucks.
Oh, man.
So
he's all vested out.
Yeah. See, yeah. So somebody got on the internet and they put his GQ cover next to Han Solo from episode 4, right? And he's vested up. And I mean, he's kind of
vest, a light shirt with no collar, like open down to like the mid chest level.
Right.
Yeah, that's very intentional.
I was going to say that there's nothing unintentional about that picture.
No, that's so, pretty much exactly what someone's going for.
And they go further to say that in his GQ article that they're talking with him about, that he goes on a kind of, you know, they ask him a question and he starts going on about how Star Wars is about this. I mean, it's this great, you know, story about families and family relationships. And he keeps hitting on that theme. Yeah. And so people are theorizing now, is he part of that family unit that's going to be, you know, the new, like the hand-me-down, you know, the passing the torch, you know, the kids are going to pick the torch. So.
Could be. And more importantly, can I get a copy of GQ so I can find out how to be polite to a woman without pissing her off?
Yeah, you do need that.
Yeah.
That would help.
Yeah, that's something that I could benefit from. And I would I'd love to know the best drinking cities in America.
Well. There you go. Pick up the new
GQ magazine. Not Han Solo, Han Solo, Adam Driver GQ magazine.
So yeah, he's all. I mean, usually when we see him in pictures, he's got the menacing mustache and things going on, but he's all clean shaven and very Harrison Fordish in this photo. So
how about that?
Yeah. So I don't know. I you know, being the EU fan that I am, I wouldn't hate a Jaina Jason showing up in episode 7.
Can you handle half Jaina Jason? Can you handle Jaina Jason? You know how one of them dies. Can you handle dialing that back and like deviating from a future point in time?
No.
You can't. So I would rather just sever the ties completely.
I'd be fine with it.
Well, I think you'd be fine anywhere along that line.
I'm going to be fine with it too. Mm-hmm. I will love a Jason and Jaina, even if their stories don't play out that way.
What if their names are Dingo and Cat?
I quit.
Does it really matter Dingo, what the names would be?
Dingo and Cat Solo. Katniss Solo. And Draco Solo. Brother and sister together at last. Draco and Katniss. Draco.
Thank God. Oh, finally together again.
Neville and Katniss.
Oh, so beautiful. So wonderful. Okay, so anyway, so the Jason and Jaina twin thing is kind of popping up again, and I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful.
Man,
what if they didn't? What if it was a brother and sister, but
not twins,
different names?
Yeah. What if?
Man.
That's the point that I'm making. What if they have just completely different names, but they are brothers and sisters? What if they are Han Solo's kids, but not Leia's kids? Eh. It's a thousand stings right there, buddy. Yeah.
Be
ready for anything.
Come on now. Yeah. It's not that big deal.
Come on.
Hey, guys, you know, we really don't know anything about these movies, but come on!
Can't a brother have his dream, man? Leave me alone.
He sure can.
All right. So the last one that we had this week, this one isn't that big of a deal, but we'll see how you guys think about it. Gwendolyn Christie's character is being said now to be a descendant of Count Dooku.
I buy it. She's got a tall head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Christopher Lee has a very tall head.
Right. Well, kind of holds
them. British.
I mean, yeah, right. British.
British people can all be related.
Kind of hold themselves regally. And, I mean, Count Dooku was, you know, the higher echelon of the social food chain, I guess. So,
Sure.
I don't know. I can kind of see it. So
yeah.
I'm not sure how that plays into the plot or if that's needed, but...
Does that mean that Brienne of Tarth is actually the descendant of Saruman?
Could be.
Does that automatically that happen that way?
Could be.
Yes.
It seems like it should.
That's Uncle Saruman, yes.
Yeah.
Uncle Saruman.
He used to be treacle tarts.
Okay, now think about that. I mean, is there a reason, though, to make her related to Count Dooku? I mean, does that bring any... I mean, continuity to the saga?
I'm going
to
throw it down right here. I've never said this. You know, I've thought it all along, but for some reason, this subject's never come up. I absolutely could not give less of a care about Count Dooku ever. I think that Count Dooku's character is just another, oh, we killed Darth Maul. Yeah.
We got to do something.
And then
need another dude.
I'm like, oh, wait, he's not as menacing as Darth Maul. Quick, write a little robot Genosian dude or something that swings 1,000 lightsabers and coughs a lot. Oh, crap, there's 3 villains. Kill that one. We already killed the other one. I don't care. Kill them all. We got to end up with the 2 of them at the end. We can't have any more than that. Just keep killing the villains. And I'm just like... I don't care at all about Count Dooku at all. I like Christopher Lee. I think he played the character very well, but I thought the character did serve very little purpose than to be this face of this movement that was, you know, but even then, like, everybody knew he was the face of the,
they knew he was going to die in the end because Anakin was going to take it over. So
in the Clone Wars, you know, he was the face of the, can't remember the Confederacy, whatever they were called.
Right.
But
the separatists.
Thank you. But they still had like the heads of the different commercial clans and stuff like that were actually supposed to be the ones pulling the strings from a PR perspective. But the whole time everybody knew Count Dooku was the bad guys. What purpose did he serve?
Yeah. I don't know. For me personally, the clone in the movies, I felt exactly the way that you do.
Yeah.
But the nice thing about the Clone Wars series for me was that I got more depth for those characters. Yeah, it made
the characters matter a little more.
Especially like Anakin. I mean, after having the experience of the Clone Wars, I can look back at Anakin and I could see his growth now. And I'm just like, okay, all right, I buy this now. I mean, just if I just had the movies, it's harder for me to swallow.
He's whiny.
Right.
Yeah.
He's not the hero of the Republic that him and Obi-Wan were supposed to be.
Yeah, I mean, in the Clone Wars, he was a badass, man, and I loved it.
Oh,
And his struggles were fleshed out, and I loved it.
Yeah.
Obi-Wan even, too. I mean, we got a little more than I wanted to see of Obi-Wan. I didn't need to see his little love thing, but...
On the super high-tech Mandalorian home planet that's not full of farmers.
Right. Right. Okay, don't start, but...
Guess what? Canon!
That's right. It is.
Kiss your other Karen goodbye.
Oh boy.
Sorry, Karen Travis.
Yeah, Karen Travis. We hardly knew ye. Write us some more stuff.
Yes, please.
Yeah. So, hey, ladies and gentlemen, you have wasted another perfectly. I'm using other podcast closures. I can't do that. Hey, thanks for listening. Bye. Have a good one.
I have a confession to make.
Oh, geez.
Howie's here.
Quiet.
I've been in the closet.
Howie, talk about the closet. You've been in the closet too long now.
My favorite Star Wars episode is Return of the Jedi.
Howie, it's okay.
All right,
Return of the Jedi is a quality.
I just wanted some affirmation.
Howie, that's okay. My favorite one is episode 4.
I like the Ewoks.
Oh,
I like episode the Ewoks. 4.
I'm sorry.
Howie, you're not alone there. But you're wrong.
I want to start a fan club for Return of the Jedi. Return of the Jedi.
You know,
Return of the Jedi.
At
least you didn't say that your favorite was Attack of the Clones. That's all I have to say.
Right. Well, or Phantom Menace. I mean, because you're over the age of 9.
I'm very borderline with that, man. I might take Phantom Menace over Attack of the Clones.
Oh,
I might.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something way worse. You're like, you know, Empire's good and all. But Phantom Menace. It had gungans. I'm just saying. Underwater stuff.
Hey, you know.
You send deep boo-boo-boo-doo.
Well, only one can make the bottom of the list. So.
Yeah. And it's that one.
That's yeah.
Really? Episode two, some horrible scenes in that movie.
Yes.
Horrible scenes.
Yes, there were.
But episode one. I don't feel like I need to say anything else. Just no, but episode
one. I don't know. I can dude, the love scenes were awful in Attack of the
Clones. You know what, Mike? We're gonna have to take this
Geonosis,
one offline.
Geonosis, awful.
We're gonna have to like pull up like a full fantasy football board with like graphs and spreadsheets. We're gonna have to call DJ spreadsheet.
Oh, yeah.
Bring him in. And we will catalog the strengths and weaknesses of episodes 1 and 2.
Pros and cons up on the website. That's right.
We'll have a graphic visualization. In the meantime, while you, the listener, wait anxiously to see those spreadsheets, please do follow us on Twitter at FlyCasual1138 and also on the Instagrams, as Mike said earlier. And on Facebook, please like us or follow, however you do things on Facebook, at Facebook.com/FlyCasualPodcast.
YouTube.
On YouTube, search for Fly Casual Podcast on the YouTube. You'll find us.
You will.
You might get the dig.
And hey, rate us. We need ratings, people.
Thumbs up on YouTube. Share our crap on Twitter.
Get on iTunes.
We know a lot of you people listen on We know a lot of you guys listen on the website, which is fine. You know,
We have listeners all over Android,
right.
Apple websites.
That's exactly right. So whatever you're using, whether it be iTunes or Stitcher or any other type of podcast service that your heart could dream of, you know, hey, if you could give us a positive rating on there, we'd really appreciate it too. We want to get some more exposure and get stuff out and get more of this nonsense into people's hot little hands.
Able to justify this to our significant others.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's really the most important one.
Be able to tell our spouses that we're not wasting our time, which we know we're not. You know we're not. But come on, them. So help a brother out. All right. So please do those things. But in the meantime, I really like to thank you for joining us this evening. It's been a hootenanny, as it always is.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, hey.
Okay.
You don't think that works as a closer, do you?
It might. I'd have to listen to it. Let's can you rewind that?
In the meantime, hey.
Hey.
Yeah, what do you think?
That worked. I liked it.
All right, let's call it a night.
Can we go out on a nice rendition of Edelweiss?
Edelweiss.
There's no delay there at all.
Angelos know how you and grow forever.
See ya, everybody.
Yeah, Edelweiss. Edelweiss. Yeah.
We don't have to pay anybody for using Edelweiss, do we? Do we want to do our vocal warm-ups again? Red leather, yellow
red
leather,
red leather, yellow leather.
Come on, Mike, lead us in some
do-re-mi,
fa-mi, fa-so, fa-so, la-so, la-ti-la-ti-do, ti-do, re-do, do-ti-la-ti-la-so, la-so, la-so.
Performance for
this is
every performance.
Cross-podcast. Yeah. Ray,
a drop of golden sun. Me, a name I call myself. A long way to run. So a needle pulling thread.
What comes next?
A long way to go.
A
drink with jam and bread.
That brings us back to do.
And that was what took all of our man cards away from us all at the same time. All of us we've been reduced to prepubescence, I'm afraid, as a result of the thing that we just did just now.
Thank you. Thank you for doing that.